there. It's Amy Schmidt, your host of the Fearlessly Facing 50 and Beyond podcast. I am so happy that you have chosen to spend time with me. As a reinvention confidence expert, along with a storyteller, I've shared quite a few things along this journey. But what I've found is the most important info to share are stories. Stories of amazing people, ordinary people, extraordinary people doing things that are going to inspire you to action. So come and join me in this space because you're going to be inspired. Let's get started. It's our time. Hey there, I'm Amy and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm happy that you are coming alongside me on this journey and today's episode will inspire you. I know it will. Today's episode is part of the Surround Yourself with Greatness series that I'm so excited about. And today's guest is seriously a superhuman. So before we get to that, I wanted to remind you to go ahead and follow along on all of the socials, Fearlessly Facing 50. Easy to find. 50 is always spelled out. And check out the website, fearlesslyfacing50.com. You can find blog posts. You can find all of the episodes of the podcast all the way back to 2019 when it first launched. You can listen to inspiration, inspiring stories of people, you know, all sorts of great content in there. So you can pop in the earbuds and listen. You also can go ahead and if you're interested in having me speak at one of your upcoming meetings or conferences, or you want to have me as part of your book club, you can reach out to me on the website, fearlesslyfacing50.com. So today's episode is a really, really great one. And a big shout out to the editor, Alex, for putting this together so quickly for me, because this is one I really want to drop before the holidays. You know, it's funny because on this particular episode, this really goes along with my Surround Yourself with Greatness series. I told you that some of the people are close to me that I know and admire. Some of the people don't know who I am, and I just reach out randomly. And this happens to be one of those guests. I have on today Rob Godet, I pronounce it wrong every time. You'll hear it in my episode with him, but he is a super, super human. He is part of the Cajun Navy Ground Force. It's something you're going to have to write down and you're going to have to Google after this, and you can go to the episode notes and I've linked everything there. It's an amazing organization. The reason I was so inspired by this is I saw an interview with Rob and I could see in his eyes his passion and his purpose intersected. I could tell that he is a human that is making a huge impact at a time of disaster, at a time of tragedy for so many. And he continues to put one step, one foot in front of the other, forging a path, staying positive, being impactful. At times that can be really challenging. So I really want you to open your heart, open your mind, and listen carefully to this episode. And I'm hoping that this will inspire change in you, challenge you. Maybe you want to sign up. Maybe you know somebody that this organization is perfect for. But that's why I wanted to drop this so quickly, because I want you to meet Rob. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to hear his incredible stories, and I want you to be inspired. So sit back, relax. Or like I say, get up and dance around, go take a walk, whatever it is, but listen intently to my special guest today, Rob Godet from Cajun Navy Ground Force. Well, welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm super psyched to have on with me today what I'm going to classify as a superhuman. I have on Rob Godet with me, and I'm not even going to tell you how I pronounced his name before we even started recording. I said, Rob, how do you say this? And he said, no, Amy, it would just be Godet. So I'm not even going to go there. But Rob, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me on. I mean, that was a great intro. Thank you so much. I appreciate
well,
those nice words.
It must be French or something, because I said like Gadget or something crazy, but it is simply Rob Godet. Rob, you are part of my Surround Yourself with Greatness series. And, you know, I interview a lot of women. I also interview men, but not as many men as women. But I'll tell you, I saw you, it must have been in the early stages of Hurricane Ian. And I don't know where I saw you. I can't remember, but I saw you. And I looked in your eyes, and being someone that used to be, I still am, a journalist. I saw something there, and there was a passion there, and your passion and purpose met at an intersection that aligned with what I do. And so I took a risk and said, I'm going to reach out to this guy. I have no idea, Rob, how I found you. I really don't. Maybe Instagram? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot of, my background's technology. We do a lot of social media. We have, a lot of followers online, and I'm not sure. I did a lot of media interviews at the beginning of Hurricane Ian. The press likes us. They like the Cajun Navy.
And Cajun Navy. So, there you go.
Yeah, they call us beginning about 2 days before disaster. My first interview before Ian was actually the day before Ian hit, and it was on News Nation Now. And just started a role where about 3 days it was nothing but interviews at the same time that I'm trying to run this organization. It was intense. So maybe that's when it was.
I think it probably was. Well, I talk about the fact that there are people in this world that make huge impacts and difference in the life of others. And I really didn't know much about the Cajun Navy. I thought, what is it? Is it a military group? Is it, what exactly is it? But they're doing these amazing things, and they are first responders at disasters and impacting lives of people in such a way. Now, as I do this interview today, Rob is in his car driving through Pine Island, a part of Florida that was hit terribly by Ian. And you said it's a high elderly population, and you're still there, boots on the ground, helping.
Yes, ma'am. Today's day 69 that we've been here helping. I haven't been home. I kind of miss my cat. My girlfriend misses my fiance, I should say. Yeah, but we are going home for Christmas for a time. But, the needs here are much greater than anything I could need. And I just can't turn away when I know I have the capacity to help in a way that maybe is my gift as a human being. It's my calling. And when it's your calling and you have this many folks coming to you every single day for help, you stay. And this is our fifth disaster, actually sixth, I added it up last night, sixth disaster this year, sixth natural disaster. And sixth the one this year. Correct. Yes, ma'am. There are 22 natural disasters in the United States that do more than $1 billion in damage. There's actually over 146, I think, this year that were declared natural disasters. And, we live in our world, and, if it doesn't impact you, or if it does impact you, you don't realize there's natural disasters happening across our country annually. And if you do a little bit of research, you'll see them, from wildfires, and we hear about them, or floods, we hear about them, tornadoes, we hear about them, hurricanes, everybody hears about them. And they don't, it's not, it's on the news for a minute and it's a blip and it's gone, but they create years worth of turmoil for the individuals experiencing it. And I boil it down to say this: if your neighbor were sleeping in a tent in their driveway because their home is full of mold and you care about this person, you're going to help them, right? So the internet makes everybody our neighbor. Facebook really does, and social media does. And so when you become aware of it, you kind of have people that help us cannot turn away. They find out about it and they show up. And so my mission in life is to tell people about it. And I say the Cajun Navy is a hybrid organization. We're a disaster response organization, disaster relief organization, but we're also a media organization. And the more people we reach, the bigger our response. There's a direct correlation to that.
You really are a technology movement, is what we talked about a little bit before the recording.
It is. The Cajun Navy is a technology movement. We've had floods and boats for 6,000 years. The first boat was kind of created about 6,000 years ago, and floods have been around since the beginning of the earth. So anytime there's a flood, people would get in their boats and go help each other. That's not different. You can find photos from the early 1800s and 1900s where they would do that. But what changed in this scenario is technology allowed us to say, hey, let's be more organized when we needed to do boat rescues. And that's where I got involved 6 years ago in this movement in 2016. We had over 100,000 homes flooded in South Louisiana in August. It was August 14th is when it started, 2016. And a lot of the country didn't hear about it. It wasn't from a hurricane. It was just from a rainstorm that was kind of a freak of nature that that landed over Louisiana for several days and just dumped a lot of rain, dumped four times as much rain as that fills as what is in Lake Pontchartrain, which is the big lake north of New Orleans. You can look at it on a map; it's enormous. And the presidential elections were going on between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and the Summer Olympics were going on. So there's a lot of big news in the country. So it kind of got us a backseat to that and didn't get a lot of attention. But we got into boats and we started rescuing people. And these folks were calling 911. They'd wake up at 3 in the morning. This flooding lasted for about 10 days. People would wake up at 3 in the morning not expecting water because the rain had ended. Right. But the water was flowing from where it had happened down towards the Gulf of Mexico. And you'd wake up in the middle of the night and you'd call 911 or you would get a busy signal or not know what to do. But people had heard about the Cajun Navy. They grabbed their phones. They looked for us on Facebook. And then what I did was organize citizens to take those requests for help that were coming through social media and put them in the hands of individuals with boats to go and help those people that were stranded in their homes. And this happened for about 10 days. And that really created the idea that social media can be used for more than sharing family photos and, you know, cat videos, but also for real life situations for rescue in a kind of a crowdsourced kind of way.
Yeah.
And my background is technology. I built my first website in 1995. I'm an enterprise level developer. I manage large software teams.
Yeah.
And I instantly recognized the future of disaster response as being crowdsourced. And that's really what we do. And the bigger picture here is that we'll do boat rescues when they happen every 5 years or 10 years.
Right.
But when that water goes down, or when the wind dies down, or when the tornado ends or the fires end, people's lives are left in shambles for years.
Years.
And disasters are not top down. There's not somebody in charge. You know, everybody, if you remember Hurricane Katrina, General Honore was seen as the hero there. General Honore is not riding in on a white horse to help everybody. Right. So it's actually a bottom up endeavor. And if you're elderly, and as we're dealing with right now, so many people on Pine Island, there's a huge elderly population here on the island and across Florida. You know, yesterday, Miss Wanda walked into our camp and said, I'm kind of embarrassed to ask this. This is exactly what she said, but we need help. Now, Miss Wanda was clearly in her 70s. She said, my husband and I have been trying to clean up our home by ourselves. My husband had heart surgery 2 months ago. And he has a stent in his leg and a boot on, and we're trying to clean up our yard. Can you help us? He said, I know there's so many other people that need help, but we need help. And she was, you know, she was kind of at the point of tears and exasperated. And the day before, I had the same exact person walk up with a different name, the same situation, and that's across the island.
Yeah. And this is 69 days after.
69 days later. Yeah. And the folks here, I mean, where I'm sitting right now, I'm looking at piles of debris in people's yards, homes that are tarped and destroyed, and people are trying to rebuild their lives. And it doesn't end when the wind dies down. It's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. We don't realize that. When we watch the news and we see it, like you said, and you see a blip on the radar for, you know, a day or a week following it, but 69 days later, we don't know what's going on there.
We don't. FEMA, I looked at this yesterday, and I need to find that article. I was going to share it. FEMA has 469 open disasters going back to 2004, where they are still providing support to individuals. Going back to 2004, that's how long it takes to recover. In 2004, it was just before Katrina. There are still people recovering from Katrina in one way or another. These are life-changing events when you experience them. And there are a lot of nonprofits. We move from disaster to disaster, and we see the same organizations going from disaster to disaster. We kind of all know each other. It's kind of like a traveling group of organizations that help in communities.
Right.
Well, we've tried to find our niche. What is it that we do that's different in this
space? That sets you apart.
That sets us apart. And how can we bring value to? We don't want to duplicate efforts or, you know, do vaporware where it's, we did these things and we want to go deep. And we want to help people from when it's bottom up, the best thing that you can do for somebody is just show up. If they feel alone, if they feel like they have to tackle this thing by themselves, that's the scariest part, is to feel forgotten.
Yeah.
And why not just show up with a movement of people in a community that just knock doors and say, hey, we're here. What can we do for you? How hard is that?
And coming into the holidays, because I know we're dropping, you know, we're dropping this right at the holiday season, December. I mean, you think of the...
Amy, that's the thing I realized 3 years ago. Hurricane Laura hit southwest Louisiana in August 26, 2020. We were there. We were in Lake Charles for 10 months. And I realized every hurricane is in August. What's in October, November, December? So these folks that had just had their lives pushed into turmoil now have the holidays. And your life goes into turmoil, but a lot of these folks, if you have money and you are wealthy or even upper middle class, you typically, you're younger. Your kids play soccer and you have a network of friends that, you know, soccer moms are going to come help you rebuild your home or help you clean out your home or be support for you. But what happens is as you get older, your friends, you lose your friends, you move from one place to another, your networks become smaller or they die off or you can't communicate with them very effectively because you're not great at technology. So your networks become smaller. It's a cycle of life.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Rob.
You know, when you're younger, there's nothing more chaotic and unorganized than a room full of kindergartners. There's no hierarchy, right? But when you get into middle school, high school, you begin to form into groups and hierarchies and you build your networks and people you can rely on and who you are. And then as you get middle age, it happens with your kids. And I know because I was a soccer dad, I coached soccer. I had a wealth of friends.
But
as you begin to, your kids move out and you go through your midlife crisis and you begin to reorganize your life into, well, no kids, who are we, what are we going to do now?
Another transition.
Your circles of friends disappear, right? Yep. And so now you're in your 70s and your 80s and you're in your twilight years and you have a very small network of friends. And those are the folks that are impacted the most in every single disaster. It's the ones we help. I think I got a passion for it after finding a woman named Etta Dodrell in 2017 or 2016, late 2016, after the flooding in Baton Rouge. I was told about her by somebody. She was living alone in her home and she needed help. So I went and visited her and it was actually January 2017. And I walk into the home and it's cold. It's cold outside. We're in Louisiana. It gets cold there in January.
Yeah.
I walk into the home and she has no sheetrock on the walls. All of her beloved possessions are piled up in the middle of the floor because she didn't want people to throw them away when they had cleaned out her home for her. But she'd been living there for 5 months. She had no hot water. And Miss Etta was 86. Wow. She hadn't had hot water for 6 months. And I said, Miss Etta, how are you bathing? And because you don't bathe in cold water when it's cold out. And she had a box of wet wipes that she'd been cleaning herself with for about 6 months. And I mean, I instantly knew we're going to help Miss Etta. So within took me about 3 months, we gathered up several nonprofits together. We rebuilt her home. In about 2 days, we put up sheetrock. We put in new cabinets, new doors, bought her new appliances. We delivered a TV 3 days later. And I walked into her home, and her door was kind of open, and her dog was running around and kind of looked for her. Miss Etta, where are you? And I went to her bedroom, and I found her passed away.
Oh.
Yeah. And the elements... the stress, you know, the loneliness, it was hard. And I have a picture, it's on our Facebook page right now as our cover image. When we were cleaning out her home, I had her sit in a chair and we took all of her possessions because she didn't want to throw her, these are her memories.
Right.
It's not stuff.
Right.
Like it's her kids' photos and gifts and just her life. And I had the volunteers take one item at a time and walk in front of her and say, what do you want to keep and what do you want to throw away? And after a few minutes of walking stuff in front of her, they walked in front of her with a princess crown. And she took the crown and she put it on her head. And so she sat there and went through one item with this crown on her head. And about 5 minutes later, she said, look, just throw it all away. And so we did. And that's indicative. People care about their homes. This is our safe place.
Yeah.
It's there where they have their routines.
Yeah.
It's where their memories are and it's gone. And it's gone in a time that they need it the most. And I say all of that to say, these are realizations that I've had dealing with individuals on the ground that differentiates our organization.
Yeah.
We go in with a finer touch. We're not just tarping their roof and cleaning out their home. We are getting to know them.
Yeah,
we're checking on them every day.
You're learning their story.
We're providing supplemental support for communities in distress. Mm. To me, it's a no-brainer that we do this, and yet it's actually a tall hill, because unless you are here and you see it and you smell it and you talk to the folks, you will not understand the importance.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. So what if I told you you could double your confidence in 14 days? Would you be game? I definitely would cannonball into that. So let me introduce you to an incredible course that is being taught by my business partner, Kristen Cofield, the founder of The Culinary Cure, and myself, the founder of Fearlessly Facing 50. 14 lessons taught by us to double your confidence. All you have to do is go to betterthangossip.com and sign up today. If you sign up with three friends, you get your course for free. And the investment is basically probably a trip to the grocery store. It's not a huge investment, but it's investment in you. That is the gift you should gift yourself this holiday season. You know, the program seamlessly combines wellness and mindset, so you solve the biggest confidence challenges that we face when building our businesses or just going along on our journeys. We need both mind and body confidence. If this sounds like you, not having enough energy to get everything done, frustrations with body image, poor sleep, inconsistent eating habits, self-doubt, negative thoughts, stress, lack of confidence, this course is for you. It's a proven, powerful online program that brings you videos, call to actions with worksheets and recipes, everything so that you can look and feel happier in your body and in your thoughts. So sign up today, Mind and Body Confidence, betterthangossip.com. You can find it there. You can find it on my website, fearlesslyfacing50.com. So people listening right now, I've got Rob Godet on from the Cajun Navy. I'm going to link everything in the episode notes here so how you can get involved. You know, we talked a little bit about untapped potential. And I want to get into that. But Rob, I'm going to ask you a story before we even, and people listening, I want you to get involved with this organization. We're going to learn how to do that and how you can become, you know, maybe tap into that potential that you have, that you've been sitting around, or you know somebody right now that you want to share this episode with and say, hey, I think this would be a really great organization for you to think about. You love helping people. It's boots on the ground. You can be a part of this. So we'll talk about that. But I'm going to ask you something personal. And I hope it's okay. I want you to take me back to Rob as a little kid. And did you always have this heart of service?
I have. I remember sitting in my great grandmother's home. We had the antennas on the TV. You know, I'm 53.
me too. Hey, 1970, good year. Yep.
I was probably Saturday morning cartoons, and I saw this commercial for little kids in need, and you could send a donation in to the Catholic Charities something, but I don't remember what the organization was. But I just remember thinking, I mean, I grew up middle class. I mean, I had a good family, loving support. And then I saw these kids in need. And it was, I was like, I kind of looked around to my family and said, are we going to send money to this? You know, I think I was probably seven. And I'm like, we need to send money to help these kids. And ever since then, I was the oldest child. I think I took care of my younger brother and sister. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's that birth order thing. Absolutely.
I've always had that in me to say, I'll step up. It set the course for my life from childhood. I remember I worked for a restaurant called Ryan Steakhouse, and they needed somebody to go be a corporate trainer, to be a trainer sitting, you know, I was just a waiter for him. I was 19. And they said, hey, who wants to volunteer and go and work with the training team in Alexandria, two hours north of us? And I kind of looked around, nobody raised their hand. I said, I'll do it. And it changed my life. I worked for Ryan's for 7 years. I became a corporate trainer. I actually became a manager. I worked my way up through management. I became a general manager of my own Ryan Steakhouse at age 24. This is in 1995.
And you've always had that. I mean, you've been able to take risks and kind of just
correct.
What I like to say. I mean, I talk about cannonballing with confidence. You've got to be a confident human. You have to take on these risks and challenges, not really knowing what's on the other end. You don't know what you're going to see when you get to these disasters.
They say you jump off, you know, the entrepreneurs jump off a cliff and build the airplane on the way down. And that's really what we're doing right now. And you know, you have to set your eye on the goal and think big and not think about the small stuff. It's certainly very difficult. We're not perfect. We make a lot of mistakes, but if we weren't making mistakes and you know, if you're not growing and
you're
we are
growing.
Making mistakes every single day, but we act humbly. We operate under three core principles as an organization: under promise and over deliver. That keeps you humble. Find a way to say yes. That keeps you resourceful. somebody has a need and we can't meet it, we will help you find a way to meet it. And the third one is to stay positive through every situation with the caveat that we're humans and you're going to have negative emotions, but let's deal with those in a positive way. Mm. That's the three core principles that leads our organization and lets us work with spontaneous volunteers with untapped potential. And
that's amazing.
That's what we are. We're a platform for individuals that, you know, I think you're going to be middle-aged and up and you've raised your kids and you've kind of maybe in your midlife crisis or going through it.
Or
I don't even know what a midlife crisis is.
Yep.
I don't ever admit that I've had one, probably like most people, but we probably have. You know, when my son moved out to go to college, I was sad for about 10 seconds because I went to his room. I'm like, wow, I'll never be in this room again. But yet he's out. Now I can pursue what I want to do. And so I set aside most of my vision and risk taking to be a dad. I coached his soccer team for 10 years.
Right.
He's an Eagle Scout. Like I invested in that. And you're right. I've always been the person that wants to give back to others.
I love that. Oh, I mean, it's apparent in what you do. So take me to 2016. How did you get involved with Cajun Navy? I mean, now from my research, and this could be wrong, you either saw something or, and you kind of showed up and then you became the person.
Yeah, I was watching the news. I'm sitting in my home, worried if my home was going to flood as well. And I did get a lot of water and we never flooded though. But my background in technology, I saw a news reporter talking about helicopters landing at the shelter, and I was watching it happen on the news, unfold on the news, and with people, the helicopters were landing with individuals that they were unloading and letting them go into the shelter, and the news reporter standing there talking on camera, and somebody's walking behind her that had just gotten off the helicopter, and she grabs him, and she says, "Hey, can I ask you what's going on?" And this gentleman had that look that I've seen thousands of times since then, but a deer in the headlights look, like, my life just changed. He said, my car's underwater. I don't know if I have a job. They took my family in one helicopter and I went in another. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think the reporter was taken back because it was intense. And I saw it. Mm-hmm. I recorded it and I still have it. I watch it every now and then. And she turned back and her demeanor changed. She said, "Wow, okay." Like, I think at that moment, I realized this was a really big event and that I was like, okay, how can I help? This is a big deal.
How can you help?
You know, in Louisiana, we get localized flooding, we get rainstorms, it happens, you hear about it, you kind of go about your business, then don't drive through deep water. But this was different. There were helicopter rescues happening where the water was above the roof line and some homes were even submerged underwater. That's a big deal. And I said, I'm going to help. How can I do it? I got on Facebook and was reading about it, and somebody, I saw the term Cajun Navy in a Facebook post somewhere. I said, "What is that? That's interesting." So I found a group called the Cajun Navy. Got it. I joined it. Now I manage 130 buy sell trade Facebook groups. I'm a tech entrepreneur. I have millions of people in them, so I know a Facebook group and I know how to do it very well.
Yeah.
I got into this group, and I'm just going to say it. It was run by a one-eyed bounty hunter from Brobridge who really didn't know what they were doing. Nice person, but they were lost. And it was chaos. And my tagline is, I bring order to chaos. And so I messaged her. I said, "Hey, I can help with this." It had a few thousand people in it, but there were serious requests in this group for rescue. People were saying, "Look, my grandmother's standing on the kitchen table. I'm in the water. She's holding my child and my dog, and I need to be rescued." Well, the instant sense of urgency. And so I said, "Look, I can help." She made me a group administrator on the spot. I just took charge and said, "Here's what we're going to do." And I'm still doing it 6 years later. And,
amazing. Yeah. You know, so that story was true. That's how I read. Yeah. That's what I read. And you just kind of took it on. So how can people get involved? What can people do? What are you looking for? Are there certain skills that, you know, that you look for, require to be part of the Cajun Navy? And what can people do, especially now with Ian? We're 69 days later. We're coming into the holidays. We're going to drop this episode because it's so important to drop now. If somebody's listening and says, I want to be there. I want to help. What can I do? What do they do?
Yeah, we are looking for remarkable, empathetic individuals who are unafraid to get their hands dirty. It's a lot of physical labor. You're going to be sleeping in unusual places, you know, in a big army tent or in an RV, or maybe we'll find you an Airbnb. and show up. That's really what we need. We need hands. And this isn't just Ian, but every disaster that we respond to, we are looking for those, and I just call them spontaneous volunteers. We are not really like a membership organization where we have, you know, 60, 70, or even 6,000 people standing by ready to come, because people's lives change. You can't always come. We want people that will show up when they can. But if we have 100,000 people in our queue, maybe 2,000 can show up out of that group and help. That's what is needed. It's truly embedding into a community for extended period of time. So we say, if you can come for a day, a week, a month, or a year, we can put you to work. Now, you go through you know, there's a culture that goes with what we do, and it's important to know that we're going to do a background check. We're going to make sure you fit in and that you have a skill set that is needed here. But I can tell you, every skill set is needed, whether you are a driver, where you drive trucks for a living. We need drivers right now to move equipment around. We need plumbers to help people replumb their homes. We need people that have chainsaw experience or that can just put on gloves and haul trees to the road. It's all range of skills. We actually have a platform where you can register. It's stability.org. It's something we're developing. I'll just say it's my background. I'm passionate about technology. I build enterprise business systems. Right. So we're building a platform called Stability. It's stability.org. And it's day one case management. We want every person to have, we want to have visibility over the actual needs of every person after a disaster, beginning on day one. Mm. We have several programs based on the timeline of a disaster. The first 2 weeks are very intense. In the first 2 weeks, we'll have as many as 2,000 volunteers come through what we call Safe Camp. It's actually a partnership with Walmart that we run this, but I think Walmart in Walmart's parking lot. You know, after Hurricane Ian and after a hurricane, you have towns through multiple counties that have no power, no water, but yet people still need to eat. They still need to bathe. So we provide critical services from Walmart's parking lot or a parking lot for extended periods of time. So we run a car line where we feed people, we give them supplies, and it's all in-kind donations that shows up in a parking lot, and we work with volunteers to put it into cars, into trunks. So we'll run the car line beginning at about 7 a.m. It'll go to 5 p.m., and it'll be all day long. And we do that here in North Fort Myers for about 12 days. That's a really intense time where we can take a lot of volunteers. And then we stay, once that's done, we actually go into communities, and we're going into communities in that whole time, but we shift our focus to the community effort where we're going into homes. Where I'm sitting right now, I'm looking. I could take a picture and show it to you. There's an elderly gentleman walking with a wheelbarrow of stuff. He's probably 70s, mid 70s, and his wife has bent over picking stuff up. Like, these folks should have 10 people supporting them right now. And that's our goal, is to bring people to help them. He's walking slow. You know, you can tell, like,
They're exhausted.
They are
physically,
exhausted.
Emotionally. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
All right. We're in an Airbnb where we're staying right across the street from him. And we need an influx of citizens that realize natural disasters appear on the news for a day or two, but they last for a very long time. And talk about no better way to serve your neighbor. And you know, you come in thinking you're helping the folks, and you are, but you actually are changing your own life. You're building new networks, and it's a chance to give back. And we're looking for people that have untapped potential. I'll talk about Camilo here. Camilo is a Marine. You don't have to be military to be with us. I mean, you know, you don't have to be at all. Jill was with us yesterday, and she's 64 and lives on the island, just volunteered. Great. Did a great job. But Camilo, if I was joke with him, he always jokes about how, you know, nobody can keep up with him. But I joke with him and say, Camilo, if you weren't here, you would be sleeping till 10 a.m. till your wife taps you on the shoulder and gives you a honey-do list around the house. Like, you can come here. And I have found this, and I heard one of our other volunteers say this. You know, I'm 53. I actually have high blood pressure. I'm in good shape. I work out and everything, but I still have high blood pressure. We have a resident nurse that's on scene. I wasn't taking my blood pressure medicine, but I was feeling great. I said, hey, Sarah, would you take my blood pressure? She took it perfect. My really? Blood pressure was perfect.
Yeah.
It's a sense of purpose.
It's a sense of purpose. It's community.
It gives you a sense of purpose.
You've built community, which people need people, especially now, I think more than ever in our country, people need people. Okay. So I am out there when it comes to like talking about things that are really on my heart and part of my personal journey. That's one reason I started the podcast. And it's another reason to share information that I find is so valuable. So I'm going to ask you this. Wouldn't you love to be able to run, skip, jump, climb a mountain, swing on a trapeze, jump on a trampoline, whatever it is, without a leaky bladder? Okay, I'm putting it out there. I know I have an editor who's a male who edits my podcast, and I'm sure he's like, okay, Amy, you're bringing it again. I'm learning so much about this. I can tell my girlfriend, my wife, my sister, my friends, whatever. But you know what? It's so important to open the dialogue on this because it's an important topic. And urinary stress, urinary incontinence is real. And you are not alone, and I am not alone. So that's why I want to share with you this amazing product that I have been using. I've been using Inovo to combat bladder leaks and strengthen my pelvic floor, which I can't tell you how many times I've pulled to a stoplight and I've heard my OBGYN saying, do your Kegels, Amy, do your Kegels. Well, you never know if you're doing them right. So Inovo's clever technology, it's non-invasive, it's not surgical. It's literally a pair of shorts. You put them on and the technology stimulates the pelvic floor to strengthen the muscles and treats the root cause of bladder leaks. You pull on the shorts and Inovo delivers 180 perfect pelvic floor contractions in 30 minutes. Literally, it's your me time for 30 minutes, 5 days a week for 12 weeks. You can read your emails. You can just have a little me time. You can do your to-do list, whatever it is. It works. It's clinically proven to work. It's non-invasive, safe, and easy to use. And you get results in as little as 4 weeks. So if you are somebody or you know of somebody that is suffering from bladder leaks, let's open the dialogue about it. Let's be transparent. We're women. We've had kids. This is part of it. So you know what? There's a great code. You go to myinovo.com. You use the code AMYK100, AMYK100 for $100 off. It's amazing. Get your starter kit. Let me know how you like it. And you know what? You'll be leak-free just like me. And it's an amazing, empowering, confidence-boosting feeling. Check it out. MyInovo.com and use the code AMYK100. $100 off. So Rob, take me to a day when, you know, you're positive. We talked about the three real pillars of what it means to be a part of Cajun Navy and what you really believe in. And one of those is staying positive. Take me to a day, Rob, when you've been there now, 69 days, you are going to go home, be with your fiance for the holidays. But those days when you just wake up and say, I don't know. Do you have those days when you just say, I don't know if I can do this today? I've given.
We had it on Thanksgiving Day, and I had it again this morning, actually. I don't ever get to the point where if I think I can't do it, because I don't feel that way at all. You know, I'm all in. But, you know, not everything goes perfectly, and there aren't always good players in this. Somebody broke into our command trailer and stole some equipment. And I noticed that was on Thanksgiving Day. We weren't here. It's unfortunate, but it happens, you know. And how do you, you know, I said, well, it happens. And, you know, I called the sheriff's department. They took fingerprints, but they'll never find the person. And I'm not really interested in finding the person because I'll explain where stay positive comes from, but I'll tell you what happened this morning. So that was Thanksgiving Day. Well, we're taking care of, I was in our camp just now and just before the call, and we're loading up a trailer with some equipment. I looked at the side door and I noticed it had been pulled back. I didn't even realize on Thanksgiving Day, but somebody tried to break into another trailer and they messed up the door on it. And that was, I found that out an hour ago. And what do you do? Like, here's why we stay positive. Natural disasters bring enormous negative energy into communities. Think a large area, whether it's a hurricane that covers, you know, half a state or even a tornado that runs through a neighborhood or wildfire. They bring enormous negativity into people's lives. And what we do is we chip away at that negativity with every small positive act that you have. Like, you have to step up. You have to say, you can't come in here with drama. You can't come in here being selfish. It forces you to be a better person, because if you contribute to it, you're not going to last long with us.
Right.
I'm just saying. Right. And it very seldom happens, but it does, where that person shows up. We're like, look, we appreciate you coming, but it's just not going to work out. But thank you. But for the most part, people that show up are here, and they have to find it. They have to dig deep in themselves to stay positive at times, just like I do. And we're still
human. You're human. You're human, Rob. You're human.
You are. Yes, ma'am.
You are human, and you're doing an amazing, amazing thing. A servant's heart. I mean, and you knew it from when you were young, and you watched that on TV, and you saw that, and you said, are we going to help these people? You know, wasn't it Fred Rogers that said, even when there's unhappy or chaos or sadness, there's always look for the helpers, and you're the helpers. Yeah.
Correct. I saw that back in 2016 when I first started this. I thought everybody would show up, and not everybody does, and that's okay. But there were people that couldn't say no, and those are the ones that we are going after. And to say untapped potential, the ones that can't say no, those are really the ones that those are the folks that are special in our world and that we want to show up.
I love that. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one last question before we go, and it's something I ask everybody. And that is, so Rob, you're 53, same age as me. If you were sitting on the couch and you look over and there's Rob at 30, what advice would you give him?
Wow. I would say take more risks. You know, don't be afraid to be confident in who you are and believe in yourself. Believe in your ability to tackle whatever is put in front of you. And you know what I found? The universe, I think, brings the solution to you. I want to share this story. This happened yesterday morning. I woke up. I'm up early every day, and the internet wasn't working well. So, and I'm in an Airbnb, and I'm like, where's the router? Let me reboot the router. And I didn't find it, and the internet was going slow. I was getting a little frustrated. I step out of the little corner I was in, and the whole power to the house blinked. The power in the house went off, and it came back on. And I kind of looked around and said, wait, that just rebooted the router for me and reset the internet. Like, I don't worry about things. Like, the universe is truly watching out for us if we take that first step and we don't go negative when it doesn't work out. The universe will fix it every time.
Great soundbite. Love that. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate your time. I'm linking episode, to the episode notes, how you can get involved, how you can learn more about the Cajun Navy. And Rob, thanks for being part of this series for me. You are a superhuman. And I am happy that the universe brought us together, because I think you're pretty amazing. You're doing wonderful things.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate you saying those nice things about me. And we want more superhumans to join us.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I hope that this episode inspired you, encouraged you, and challenged you. Because when we share our stories, they're inspiring. You know what? It's important for people to connect. Connection is key. People need people. So as you go forward this week or today, be a difference maker, be a change maker, not only in your life, but in somebody else's. Reach out with a text, an email, or a phone call. Connection is key. It builds community and it builds confidence. Go forth and be awesome, and I'll see you soon.